while it's really important to develop practices of gratitude, and it really is, it'd be great to journal your gratitude. It'd be excellent to two blessings be announced in your family every day. Develop these practices. Absolutely. But what we're saying is something deeper than mental exercises. What we're saying is that there's a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light, a program of healing and hope, sharing the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. I'm Daniel Britt. We're all set to hear Alan's message in a series called God Help Us. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource. Details of that coming up. But as you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at sharingthelight.org or call 877-544-4860. And again, more on this later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Most religions of the world, in one way or another, build rules and processes and rituals wherein you can institutionalize or personalize this pattern of trying to be a good person. And the religion will tell you, here's what a good person does, and here's how a good person behaves. So be this good person so that then you will have this good life. That is the majority of the way people think. But for the Christian, I want to be very clear about this, we have an entirely different thought process. We say we were created in the image of God, which means that I did not make myself. I did not make the world. I did not make myself. I didn't make any of the blessings that are around me. That every single good gift comes because God is the creator of all good things. So you didn't make yourself. And if you didn't make yourself, then it means that life is a gift. Life is a gift. You didn't create yourself. But we go even further. For what we recognize is that the Bible is true, and it plays out in our own awareness that we have been born also in a fallen world that has rebelled against God. And so we were born, the Bible says, in sin. And all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And though this is absolutely unpopular to say in our culture, what this means is that we are all justly deserving the displeasure of God, and that we all justly deserve to be judged by God and to be punished by God, that what we should be headed towards is a life without God, because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So in other words, the Christian knows these two things at the same time. I was created in the image of God, and I was made in a very good way, and life is a gift. But I, along with all of humanity, have rebelled against God, and the wages of sin is death. And I, without some intervention, without some rescue, without some other gift from God, I would surely perish eternally. And what we believe is that God, in the fullness of time, fulfilled his redemptive plan of rescue. And he sent his only beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die in our place so that anyone who would receive him would receive new life in Christ, so that you would be born again. So what we say as Christians is that it's a gift that we were born in the first place, but it's a great gift that we were born again and we will live with him forevermore. So the Christian mentality is exactly the opposite of the entitlement mentality. It says, if there's something good that comes in my life, then hallelujah, it is a gift from God that I did not merit. Now, that's two fundamentally different ways of looking at your life, isn't it? To understand gratitude, in other words, you must understand grace. In fact, grace is in the gratitude. If you think of the word gratitude, inside that word is another word we'll use sometimes, gratis. You know, if you get something gratis, that means it's free of charge. So gratis, the free gift, is the root of gratitude. It's more clear if you look in the Greek language at the word for thanksgiving, because the word for grace in the Greek language is a beautiful word, charis. Charis, the unmerited loving favor of God given freely through Jesus Christ, the charis of God. The word to give thanks in the Greek language is eucharisteo, eucharisteo. Charis is in the word to give thanks. One of the phrases we use for celebrating communion is we call it the Eucharist. Maybe you've heard of that term. It's the Eucharist. It means literally the thanksgiving. Eucharist has at its heart charis. Why? Because thanksgiving only makes sense if there is a revelation of grace. Because grace is the gift that we receive that we did not merit. If you in any way merit a blessing, it's not charis. It means you earned it. It means you were entitled to it. It means you deserved it. But charis is completely undeserved, utterly, completely unmerited. That is the nature of all thanksgiving. Now our story, Mary. Jesus arrives at their home in Bethany. The last time that he was around Lazarus, Lazarus was in the tomb. Jesus came and he wept when Lazarus was dead. And then in another instance, that text in John 11 says he was deeply moved in his spirit. He was deeply moved with great compassion. And then Jesus, he called out, Lazarus, come out. Sometimes people go, well, you know, I want to resist the commands of God. But if you would understand that in his command is always good news and always the promise of its fulfillment, if you were sick, you want to hear Jesus say, be healed. And Lazarus, though he was dead, obeyed the command, Lazarus, come out, live. A picture of the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. They said, Lord, my brother is dead. Jesus said, you don't understand, I am life. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. The life and life abundant is in Christ. This is all being pictured here. So Jesus has now come for a dinner party over at Lazarus's house. I mean, it's pretty cool. If you raise somebody from the dead, and he hosts you for dinner. And that's what's going on. So he comes over and he is reclined at the table. Martha, in her usual manner, is using her gift of service, and she is dutifully caring for the needs and serving, and Jesus is reclined. The reason that language is used is the way they would eat is you'd lean on your left elbow, stretch your legs out behind you so that your feet are exposed back away from the dinner table, and you eat with your right hand, and there's Jesus, and there's Lazarus, and they are, who knows, what were they talking about? They're laughing, they're interacting, and Martha is serving, and Mary is slipped back to the back of the house, and she comes back with a container. Maybe it was an alabaster jar, maybe it was a box, and it contained this pure spikenard, a precious perfume, maybe a form of myrrh. It is valued at 300 denarii. It is in today's translation, maybe let's say $30,000. Scholars suggest that this was probably Mary's life savings. It was her wedding dowry, probably. When she poured it out, it would make her less attractive as a bride for the loss of this dowry. She was unthinking about this. It was reckless and scandalous. And she poured it all out on Jesus' feet. She was thankful.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light. And we'll have more teaching in just a moment in our important series, God Help Us.
This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. Those timeless words from Jeremiah 30 reveal the heart of God. He loves to restore. In ancient times, cities would often be rebuilt on top of the ruins of the former city. The new city would stand higher, with safer walls and a greater perspective. In Pastor Alan Wright's 8-message CD album, Out of the Ruins, you'll discover how God can rebuild your life gloriously out of yesterday's disappointments.
For your donation to Sharing the Light right now, we'll send you a copy as our thank you gift from Sharing the Light Ministries. Ask for it when you contact us. Our toll-free number is 877-LIGHT-60. That's 877-LIGHT-60. Or online at sharingthelight.org. Today we're in the series called God Help Us. Here once again is Alan Wright.
I want you to notice very well, Jesus did not command her to do this. He didn't say, if you were thankful for what I did for you and raising your brother from the dead, then you would go do something lavish for me. He didn't say that. This was spontaneous. This was an overflow. This was the left hand not knowing what the right was doing. This was a gratitude that had overwhelmed her soul and shaped the whole way in which she saw life. It appeared reckless, impractical, and yet Jesus refused to stop her. Because the gratitude that was flowing out of this woman's heart was a picture of what God intends to give to every single believer through a revelation of the gift of Jesus, the giver of new life, that the life in Christ is to be shaped by such gratitude. I wonder if she let it flow all out at once, or if it was just a slow drama. I like to envision that at least she savored it, that it came out drop by drop. I like to envision maybe an ounce at a time, drip, drip, drip. That makes an ounce about $2,000 worth in the first ounce. Drip, drip, drip. Judas is expressing his own selfish desires, but don't you know he's also expressing somebody else's sentiments too? Someone else would have that thought, this is a waste. Why would you pour all of this out on Jesus' feet and then let the oil and the perfume just pool into the dust and make mud and be gone and be done? Drip, drip, drip. That could have funded the rescue mission for a week. Drip, drip, drip. Could have sponsored 10 children for a year. Drip, drip, drip. Could have sent someone else out into a mission field. Drip, drip, drip. Why isn't Jesus stopping this nonsense? Why isn't Jesus halting this woman before it's all wasted, before it all goes away and can't be used for some practical concern? The reason that Judas said this the way he said it was that he, being so accompanied by that religious spirit that is always familiar with the way religion ought to sound, is saying to Jesus, he's saying, you know, look at this waste. This could have been spent on the poor, even though Judas didn't care about the poor at all, and Jesus cared every day of his life about the poor. Raising up to the very Lord of the universe, using some religious idea to try to influence Jesus. This religious spirit followed Jesus around wherever he went. It was in every one of the Pharisees, always speaking out to Jesus. Even the devil himself used religious scriptures to try to tempt Jesus. But Jesus was unswaying. He was not moved by anything Judas was saying. He said, let her be. Let this gratitude flow. What was so scandalous about it was this. It's not that Lazarus's life and him being raised from the dead was not worth $30,000. Of course it was. If it had come in reverse order, if Jesus had been by the graveside and said, "Mary, if you give me $30,000 of perfume, I'll raise your brother from the dead," she would have most certainly done it. Right? I mean, you think of somebody that you know that has died prematurely loved. You love them. They, what would you give to have them back? You give anything. My precious sister-in-law, have brought her back all these years. Any, you lay down everything you had, of course, because it's not a matter of whether Lazarus's life was worth $30,000. Here was the scandal. Lazarus was already raised from the dead. Whether Mary brought in perfume or not wasn't going to change the fact that Lazarus was already raised from the dead. Here, let me put it even more bluntly. If Mary had wandered around the house murmuring and complaining with an ungrateful heart, if Mary had wandered around cursing Jesus, Lazarus was still alive. Even though Judas was over there conspiring with evil in his heart, Lazarus was already alive. Why? Because the gift of God comes unmerited. The gift of God came. Why? Because anybody had given $30,000? No, because Jesus loved Lazarus, because the glory of God was on display, because grace goes first, and grace is inside of all gratitude. So what she was doing was a response to a miracle of life that had already taken place, and that's why it was scandalous, because Lazarus was already alive. The miracle had already taken place. God had already saved him. And our lives, beloved, are radically, scandalously lived out in this gratitude in which we're just being poured out like an offering to God. And if you didn't understand the gospel, you could never understand it, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is the source of our gratitude. We understand ourselves to have been Lazarus, dead and alive again, and therefore forever grateful to God. What it means is that while it's really important to develop practices of gratitude, and it really is. It'd be great to journal your gratitude. It'd be excellent to two blessings be announced in your family every day. Develop these practices. Absolutely. But what we're saying is something deeper than mental exercises. What we're saying is that there's a revelation of Jesus Christ. May I remind you of how unimaginable it is that God would give us Jesus. This is what happened. Jesus came and lived a sinless life. Over and over you read in the scripture, he did not sin. He was perfectly obedient. He did everything his Father said, even to the point of sweating blood and still saying, "Not my will, but yours, Father." Jesus was the only human who ever truly merited only blessing and no curse. He was perfectly obedient and had not sinned. But when he was on the cross, the Father looked upon Jesus as if he was full of sin, treated him, reckoned him, regarded him as if he had sinned. The one who had never sinned is treated by the Father like he was full of sin. And the punishment, the wages of sin is death, that punishment was doled out upon this obedient and perfect and righteous man, so that anyone who would receive Christ and accept his saving work on the cross, anyone, which is all of us who have fallen short of the glory of God, and all of us have sinned every day in our thoughts, our behaviors, or and only deserved the punishment that the law had prescribed, that the wages of sin is death, that we, while Jesus is treated like he is a sinner, even though he knew no sin, we who know sin, who live in sin, we are regarded by the Father as though we've never sinned. We're treated as, we are reckoned as if we are righteous. He was righteous, we are sinners. He is treated as a sinner, we're treated as the righteous ones. And through the shed blood of Jesus, we, by simple childlike faith, are incorporated into Christ himself and receive the benefits of life that should have been reserved only for Christ. What I'm saying is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and we become in Christ, and we have the resurrection and the life in us, and behold, we will live forevermore. That is the exchange that has taken place in the gospel. God so loved the world that he treated the one who hadn't sinned as though he had, so that he could treat you, the sinner, as though you'd never sinned, because it was always God's desire to pour out upon your life gift after gift after gift after after gift, after gift, after gift, such that your life would be framed in the consciousness that I don't deserve any good thing to come in my life, but thanks be to God, I've been saved and I will live forevermore. So every single circumstance, the revelation of the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus can empower you to give God thanks. It'll change everything, and that is the gospel.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching, God Help Us.
This is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. Those timeless words from Jeremiah 30 reveal the heart of God. He loves to restore. In ancient times, cities would often be rebuilt on top of the ruins of the former city. The new city would stand higher, with safer walls and a greater perspective. In Pastor Alan Wright's 8-message CD album, Out of the Ruins, you'll discover how God can rebuild your life gloriously out of yesterday's disappointments. The gospel is shared when you give to Sharing the Light. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support. When you give today, we will send you today's special offer. We are happy to send this to you as our thanks from Sharing the Light Ministries. Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
So, Alan, thank you for such a message like this. It's powerful to realize it's kind of secrets of the kingdom, right? The way God's economy works, and it is a scandalous power.
Well, it's life, when life gets difficult, our fallen nature, the sin nature, wants to begin to meditate on how things haven't gone right for us. And so, you know, to somebody today, you're just, gratitude seems like it's distant from you because life has been difficult. But there is no, as we've seen today, there's no greater link to our health and happiness than gratitude. And the secret of this, Daniel, in the end, is a meditation upon the gospel of what God has done for us. So no matter what you're going through, there is the opportunity today to meditate on the gift of Jesus on the cross and his resurrection and his advocacy for us. And it can and will stir a gratitude in our heart that will change everything. And when we really comprehend the grace of the gospel, what it does is it fills up our hearts with gratitude. And we're just going to find out that our hearts are absolutely moved and our entire direction of life gets altered when we really, really are grateful. It's exciting stuff.
We're always encouraged to hear from you, whether you visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. If you only caught part of today's teaching, not only can you listen again online, but also get a daily email devotional that matches today's teaching. It's delivered right to your inbox free. Find out more about these and other resources at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright. The
listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.